listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life Program for Wednesday, June 19th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As you know, as always, I'm very glad to be here.
As always, so glad to have you. And thank you to our live listeners as well. We always appreciate seeing you and the contributions you have. And we appreciate those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence.
I think we lost Michael for a moment. Well, I hope I'm live and everybody can hear me. Glad to
you
be
are.
Here.
You are. I'm trying to deal with the feedback. Hold on.
Okay. Well, I got some feedback on the last week's program at the mention of Terrence Howard.
All right, we are back. And I went offline just as you were starting to talk about the feedback, but I think let's go ahead and give our listeners a second to catch up with us. It's going to take a moment for the live stream to kick back on for them. All right, we are back. And I went offline just as you were starting to talk about the... All right. So, Dr. Vicki, still with me?
I am still here. We're good. Thanks for everybody's patience. We have such a crew, Michael.
We do. We do. I'm thankful every day.
Yep. We have such a patient crew waiting for us. That's awesome.
All right. Well, I think we should have some people coming back up. And like I was saying, right when we went down, I could hear you talking about the feedback you'd gotten. And then my internet cycle, when I was trying to fix the feedback, I inadvertently jostled the power station enough that the router connection came loose. So my internet had to cycle. I apologize for that bit of clumsiness.
But no, we were blaming aliens.
Well, I mean, they could have programmed me to do it. Who knows? It can't be impossible. But you were saying, I'm sorry to have you cut off like that.
Oh, it's all right. Again, the feedback from Terrence Howard, when we were talking about him last week, and thankfully, I really appreciate Caleb invested a lot in writing me an email because he went down the rabbit hole, Michael. He not only watched the entire interview with Joe Rogan, he went over and he did lots of research on Terrence Howard. He did research on the math and the science. And he said, you know, basically, I'm paraphrasing, he excuse me, agrees with some of it, but he says, in short, we'd have to reconfigure how we look at math. And it's true. Sorry, I had to cough there. So I'm going to say, in my opinion, he's right in that we must revisit how we see physics and science in general. A discipline based on language that's two-dimensional is simply wrong. So, I mean, and I appreciate what Caleb's saying, but when I wrote back, of course, I thanked him profusely because he really did his research in his view. But I also said, I guess we have to wait to see how Terrence Howard in future verifies his theories by, you know, his inventions.
Mm-hmm. And I would tend to agree with that. I think you can have an interesting and provocative idea, but until it's tested and challenged and it comes out ahead, then, you know, I don't think that we can know. You know, it's very difficult with our individualistic perspectives to see the wider truth at times.
I think sometimes it's very difficult for a lot of people to see things three or four dimensionally. We're not trained that way. Our conditioning is very linear and kind of flat. So what he has done, what Terrence Howard has done, is pulled it apart to see from different perspectives. And we don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see what corporations and governments do to him as he tries to activate his inventions. Because I know people who've done extraordinary things with inventions that could never go anywhere. They were prevented. And, you know, for a lot of reasons. And we all know how the world works. So Damien has responded in the chat, Terrence Howard only had a communication issue with what words he uses to choose when, you know, he's communicating. So, and yes, Wendy, I did, and so did Michael, see the video of Neil deGrasse in response to Terrence Howard, because Neil deGrasse had really torn apart a paper that Terrence had written to him.
Wow.
I saw that. Everybody's going to have a different perspective, and we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I don't know. The 1 times 1 is 2 thing never makes sense to me. You know, I did watch the response video. I saw, you know, I agree. I thought he was blunt, but I don't think he was disrespectful, Neil deGrasse Tyson, but at the same time, I think this is what we need. We need to speak these ideas into the world, play around with them, test them, and, you know, kind of dive in.
And so Dr. Mike is saying, why do I think that math is two-dimensional? I think it is. It's very linear. But we have reduced it over time. You know, the single digits, 1 to 9, and we know there's many more. But there's also 1.5, 1.75. And I liken it to... I knew a blues player many years ago who said the 7-note scale was just wrong. And I did research into the Gregorian chant. And when the church and a number of other organizations back in the day took the 33-note scale and reduced it to 7. And blues players are always trying to bend notes to get a truer sound. And thankfully, he taught me how to hear notes, whether it's cars, and he was, oh man, this guy had an ear. He'd say, listen to the cars on the asphalt, and he would nail the note that it was, whether a flat or a sharp or a chord, and a bird singing, that's this note, and music is everywhere. So if we tune into that 3 or 4 dimensional experience of life, you know, we kind of move away from this flat kind of thinking that we have. Now, I understand you can get into algebra, you can get into all the other elements of X over Y and, you know, change it up. But we are trained to think in a linear perspective, in a linear perspective with math. And yeah, we can do have different approaches, but it's all to the same end. And that's why I think it's very limited in its experience. So that's my take on it. I could be very wrong. I mean, I'm sure that mathematicians and scientists think that, it's a 3 or 4D experience, but
it's also a much higher level than I could possibly get into. You know, math's never been exactly my forte. I could only, I could get into it and I could, you know, get a B or if I'm really applying myself an A, but I never got past college algebra. I never needed to. But, that being said, you know, there just wasn't my focus.
Yeah.
But, that being said, you know, I think, you know, where Terrence Howard kind of lost me was really with the math stuff, but I think his perspective is important in the sense of looking at things in a different way. Like, I think looking at things in a more three-dimensional is not really, it's not really changing, and this is how I interpreted it and what I watched and things like that. It's not that it's reinventing certain things as much as it's trying to look at it in a different way. You know, if you look at a flat map of the globe, things at the poles are going to be distorted because it had to be flattened out for a map. But you have different ways of looking at that. Nobody's saying that Greenland is as big as it looks on a map. It just, you know, but
you know, again, people think that psychic impressions or intuition is, you know, being nuts. You know, and that's what I'm saying. It's our consciousness is multidimensional.
Oh, sure.
And
I believe that.
So if we are conditioned to believe our reality is our reality, and angels, if you see angels, you're a devil, you know, all those kinds of things, then of course you're seeing life in a very flat two-dimensional way. But if you have intuitive thoughts, if you have other psychic impressions and so on, now you're seeing a different dimension of what I call space-time and consciousness. And that sharing of consciousness, which we're going to get to tonight, by the way, folks, then it has a different feel and a whole different perspective. I think where Terrence Howard risks himself is not only the one times one can't be one. I don't think that's where he really gets himself into trouble with the general population. I think it's when he remembers being in utero. And most people are saying, what? You know, he remembers at 6 months in utero and, you know, he kind of wake up in a place and then he fall asleep and wake up and fall asleep. And he remembers being born into this lifetime saying to himself, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. Well, I don't remember the actual canal experience of coming in here, but I have memories going back as far as 6, 8 months old. And so how far back does memory go? And again, do you believe in reincarnation? So it's, it opens up a whole new world if we can see it metaphysically, not just physically.
Well,
so
sure.
anything is possible. So do I find it exciting that somebody like Terrence Howard is stepping up. No different than, I'm not keen on Stephen Greer, but he dared to step up in a world that said, are you kidding?
I'm about to Google who that is. Hold on.
And so there's a whole number of people who are deemed to be arrogant, but what it is to me, they're frustrated.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know,
but
to me, they're frustrated. And they're having to stand up for themselves in a way that's not palatable for the audience. But they have to be that in order to deliver what they have.
Very true in a lot of ways. You know, when it comes to me having to take somebody's word on it, that's where I'm open to it being possible that he remembered it being in utero and things like that. I'm also aware that people can create memories for different emotional benefit. That has to be taken into context as well, because I didn't have the lived experience. I can't say that it's not true. I can only say that I'm not required to believe it. And I think that it's very necessary for a certain type of person that knows something. They want to get it out into the world. They have to have confidence in it. They have to have assertiveness with that. I think that is very true, and I think it's also very true that a lot of people that have been wrong have had that same confidence and assertiveness. So you have to look at the idea in and of itself without really looking at the person who delivered it as much.
You know, I've had 3 children, and about 3 days prior to each one of them being born, I felt a swoosh, like somebody entered the room.
And
I went, oh, you're here. And I knew I was going to deliver within a short period of time. And I think that there's a connection through gestation, of course. Do I think the soul is entirely in the body? No. And something that Terrence Howard said is he felt the connection, but he went to sleep. Felt the connection, went to sleep again. And I can completely relate to that, having had a fetus grow in my body three times. Because you can feel inside, you can sense that connection, that soul connection. And, you know, to me, it's still a fetus growing. It's a mass of cells that's growing. And there's all these electrical impulses, everything the mother is and around and so on, impulses into that fetus. But I don't believe that the fetus entirely houses the body until it's nearly ready to come here. So that's where I kind of compare. I went, you know, I get what he's saying. And he has some kind of consciousness about that. So that's where a lot of people are going to dispute that, you know, but it's a feeling. It's a sensation that we can't verify. We can't validate in any particular way. So this is where we enter into the, you know, the zone of, I don't know. It's, you know,
Twilight. That's where a lot of this stuff exists.
Sure.
I mean,
but consciousness, Michael, you came across a great article on consciousness.
Yeah. I believe it was, what, Popular Mechanics? And it was talking about new ideas about the individual cells that make up a multicellular animal or plant having a minute form of consciousness in and of themselves. It's a very interesting idea, and what they're talking about it in different, you know, applications, but kind of revolutionary idea in terms of looking at life, that each cell has its own, you know, minute form of consciousness as opposed to just being a mechanical thing. And it'd be a very minimal level, but white blood cells being the primary example in the article, they have to be able to pick out different things and key into it, etc. It'd be on a level of consciousness far below even what a plant might have, but there nonetheless, they're trying to, you know, utilize it in terms of how they can better understand life, better understand the body, so they can have different therapies, different treatments for different diseases, or, you know, who knows what the applications could possibly be in the future. But it's a very interesting concept. It's very interesting in how we look at life, that we are a biosphere of, you know, our universe unto ourselves, trillions of cells, you know, different environments.
I agree.
It's a fascinating way to look at things.
Well, I think that we could have to consider epigenetic memory generations back, scientifically proven so far, 14 generations, that we carry a certain memory with us, which can include, by the way, emotional memory from ancestors. But then what about past life memory, spiritual memory? We don't know. But that each cell in the body knows its job. You know, it knows its job and it knows how to interact with other cells. It has to have some kind of, not just, a mechanical, as you called it, Michael, that mechanical operation. There has to be some kind of knowing in those cells because it knows what to do. And I've often wondered about, you know, we go down into all the organisms in our body and each one of those being a universe unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then we live in this perspective of our universe, our galaxy. So it could be, you know, greater. Let's see, we got a lot of stuff going on in the chat room. Dr. Mike says about math, maybe this will help. Three-dimensional mathematics provides the tools to model and analyze complex systems in physical space, leading to a deeper understanding and advancement in science, engineering, and beyond. Yeah, I appreciate that, Dr. Mike. Thank you for that. Let's see, what else have we got going on here? Oh, Damien says even tapeworms have been proven to carry memory generationally. And then slipping over to consciousness, again, Wendy said she had a dream last night that her dogs, Ollie and Ghost, were human. It was the best dream I think I've ever had. Ollie was a year and a half cute little baby trying to eat a bag of chips. Ghost was about 6 years old. I was able to talk to them like they were my children. She said it was amazing.
That is a good dream.
It is a good dream.
But, you know, and coming back to Demian's quote, you know, Damien, that is a good point because, you know, instinct comes from that genetic memory, right? We have such vivid things that happen. Those behaviors repeat over time. That's, you have to have that for instinct to be a thing, for that basic programming, right? We're always kind of standing on the shoulders of previous generations.
Well, I think that we have to be able to open our minds, which is the whole point of metaphysics and being curious people, you know, as we, you know, progress. And I saw a meme today that how come we can go to Mars and I can't get my Wi-Fi to work? I mean, so there's a lot of things we don't know about, but we're down here dealing with small stuff, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, the day-to-day minutia.
Yeah, so I, you know, I have to go to that. I think there's, I find it exciting that we're beginning to, and thankfully to the internet, I know there's a big dark side to the internet, but for the internet, we're able to be here and we're able to access information that we were not privy to before. You know, people can get a message out even if it's dropped off YouTube in a day. So, you know, because a lot of our viewing is selective, as we know, but it's, you know, we're all censored in some way.
To a degree. I think it'd be irresponsible not to note that we have more open discourse in this society than we've had in many previous and even contemporary societies. Not that we can't do better. Just that it's a false equivalency to point to our society in a closed society like North Korea or even of 100 years ago or 200 years ago of the monarchies, etc.
Well,
but I digress. Excuse me.
I think, again, this whole wonderment of consciousness, which is part of what Terrence Howard is saying. He said, you know, the universe is one consciousness. And again, each cell in our body is a consciousness. But we're all flowing, like death and rebirth is a constant. We're in motion. Everything is in movement. And I find that, you know, actually reassuring.
Yeah, so, it's absolutely comforting. I completely agree with that.
Everything is this chain of events that takes us into a rebirth. And again, that's not to, you know, we don't talk in a way that is trying to diminish the struggles that people have. And, you know, because some very base fundamental levels, people are struggling. And especially if you're in a heat dome, because we had one up here 2-3 years ago and it was brutal. So I totally get it. There are heat domes. It's not fun. Or you're dealing with other big weather, you know, phenomenon or, you know, I mean, sometimes it's just about trying to pay your rent and get through a day. So, I mean, I get it. How much time, you know, it's Maslow's hierarchy. How much time do we get to spend on these thoughts? Well, you know, when taking ourselves into a stratosphere of, you know, interdimensional thinking. But, you know, it's exciting. I find it all very interesting and exciting. And I look forward to seeing what people like, because I don't think Terrence Howard is by himself. I think that there are many who have attempted, you know, to bring new inventions forward. You got to remember, Michael, we were allowed and we're operating cars based on steam or just water 100 years ago, but we liked oil and gas better. So, I mean, anything is possible.
Anything is possible. I completely agree with that. But, well, you know, I'm very happy that we can even come together to have these conversations, that we can explore these different ideas and we can, you know, I find that a lot of growth comes in challenging one another to find a higher truth. And I know that I come away with it with a better perspective. Sometimes I have to be jostled out of my complacency, so I appreciate the discussion.
Well, I think we all just have to think about it and be open-minded. That's all, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Be open. I mean, the Earth could be flat, Michael.
No, no, I'm drawing the line. Drawing the line. Nope, 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 nope. That's a trigger for me. I am triggered.
I had to trigger you. Well, let's start drawing some cards for a few
minutes, right.
Shall we go?
Before we do, I just wanted, I had meant to do this on the outset. I apologize. But today is June 19th, which is the Juneteenth holiday in the United States. And I think it'd be appropriate to just remark on it. And of course, to any international listeners, Juneteenth is basically when the Union armies brought the abolition of slavery to the furthest reaches of Texas and things like that. So it's essentially the abolition of slavery in its finality. Well, that's anyway, in the United States, it's praiseworthy. I just wanted to point that out. So I hope everybody was able to enjoy the day if they had it off, was able to reflect, and just wanted to wish everybody a happy Juneteenth.
All right. Happy Juneteenth.
All right.
I'm trying to write names madly here.
They're coming up. They're coming up. So, all right. So we have a couple of names in. Dr. Mike, I appreciate that. Remember, Darwin was thought to be a nut job. Good addition. And Damien, slavery did suck. I completely agree with you on that. But we do have a couple of names. I think Dr. Jerry's our first, although chat went pretty fast.
It is.
All right. Dr. Jerry, I have for you number 27, gains. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains.
So I got the five of diamonds. So gains in the five of diamonds. I'm going to go with a sense of grieving, Jerry. And I think it fluctuates in what I'm getting here because you're gaining something but also feeling like you've lost something. So it's kind of a trade-off. And, you know, as we know that this too shall pass. But it also is, so I'm going to do a flip side to this and what I've just told you. It's also as you move forward, somebody could be tugging at your apron strings, not wanting you to move forward. So it's that one of those perplexing moments. So, you know, it's just sometimes I think you just have to sit and be still and not play the game of back and forth and, you know, and buying into our emotions of the moment. It's getting a sense of centeredness and clarity. And then just step by step doing what you need to do to move forward. And never mind the people pulling at your apron strings. So I hope that makes sense.
All right.
Okay.
Dr. Jeff is next.
We do.
And for you, and we are going to pull one for Sean as well. Happy to have you with us. But first, Dr. Jeff, I have for you wild card number 9, blank. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for the answers lay within.
Well, you know, that six of hearts, or that six of cups is, Six of Cups, is all about family and community. So in this blank card, it's like you want to stretch your boundaries a little bit. Being, you know, not so homebody and isolated, but rather, you know, stretching that out. Getting ready to take yourself to the world in some way, Jeff. So I think that's kind of exciting, where sharing what you have with others, like you're ready. I think it's great.
All right.
And so what have we got for Shauna?
Shauna, for you, I have number 37, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
Well, I got lovers, which is all about passion. It doesn't necessarily reflect intimacy either. It can be passion for something. So that groundedness in lovers is, let's say you have a great idea for a business, but you also have to look at the math of it and the demographics, the, you know, the location. You have to look at all the other facts and make sure that it works with the passion. So it's about staying grounded, Shauna. And that might also be in passion for other things that you have. It's, you know, staying within a budget or managing relationships. So it's that excitedness that you have, that energy you have, which is awesome. But it's just, again, making sure that there's a balance between how we approach things and think about them. I think it's a really encouraging card. A lot of passion there.
All right.
Ronaldo, so we have next?
I believe so. And Ronaldo, for you, I have number 19, Invoke the Counselor Within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. As always, determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
Seven of Hearts is, it's always on that edge of what's an illusion versus a real dream. And when I pair that counsel within, it's kind of like, what I want to say here is other people might have another reality that you don't necessarily buy into. You don't necessarily think it's accurate for you. And so you're trying to weed through that to say, well, what is your dream? What is your reality? And how do you want to move forward? So it's going by your own gut feeling of what's right for you, Ronaldo, no matter what other people want or what they expect.
Right.
You know, being true to you.
Oh, always good advice.
Yeah, well, I think we have Edward next.
We do. I was just going to point out, Dr. Jerry, appreciate the feedback. And, you know, appreciate to have you with us again. I know you're going through a hard time, but I just want you to know that we're all there with you.
Yep.
And, Dr. Edward, for you, I have wild card number 4, Unknowable. Always a good one. There are mysteries in the universe, and not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we want to know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Well, I really did pull two cards at once. And Wendy just said that you had unknowable back in February. So,
2/21, pulled two cards.
Yeah, I know. Then two cards came out. So what this is saying, the moon, which is always the mystery. So you've got unknowable and a mystery. But the Chariot is there. So number one, life is going forward anyway. But in this case, you're going to feel like you're a better manager in what you have in front of you. And I don't want to say what you have to deal with, but what life is presenting to you, you're going to feel very shortly that, and look, shortly could be a week or a month, but shortly that it won't feel like so much of a mystery. You'll have more information and you'll just feel like you're in charge of your life better, Edward. You know, simply put. So, unknowable and the moon, I always say that there's some kind of magic stirring, but we can't put our finger on it, and we feel like we're kind of not grounded. Like, what is going on? But it's going to be revealed to you in short order. You're going to feel much better about things.
I like it. All right. Dr. Zoran, I have you next on my list. And for you, I have number 6, boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. reassess, and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking elsewhere to see if you are overstepping. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Yeah, well, I got the Empress in support of that, which is almost a contradiction, because the first message is boundaries, but the second message is growth and ideas and all kinds of, you know, stuff going on. If it had been kind of in reverse, you got ideas, but be careful. I'm saying maybe you're feeling some limitations. So if you can remove some of those limitations from your thinking, there might be greater opportunities. So there are always boundaries in our life, right? Mm-hmm. And always kind of some kind of rules. But sometimes they're of our own making and not necessarily true. So I think what this is saying, Zoran, is to revisit how you approach the things that you want to do and, you know, see how your ideas can be put into effect, but in a new way. So that's what I want to say.
That's a good message. I like it.
We have Damien next.
And Damien, for you, I have number 43, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency, others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
And I got the Jack of Hearts for that, and that's really exciting, Damien. You know, there's a difference between going from your emotional urges versus your intuitive urges. You know, you wake up in the morning, you say, today's the day. Or it's 10 o'clock, you say, oh, I've got to make that call, and you make it right now. So that's what expediency is about here in the Jack of Hearts, is when you start working from your center, from that center place, you trust your knowing. You know, I'm real big on that. It's like, okay, I have these errands to do, but I'm not feeling it. Okay, I can go now. Kind of. And I just trust that. I had a couple of people to visit today. I went, oh, I wasn't going to go till later. And I thought, no, I have to go now. Well, I got a parking space. You know, so we have to go with that. So in what you're doing, go with your feeling and not your emotional feeling or your attachments. It's another kind of knowing. So you're learning to differentiate those senses in yourself. That's exciting. All right. We have mm-hmm. Wendy, our card keeper, next.
And Wendy, you get a wild card. Wild card number 6, entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still, and the entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers their personal entropy, and the world is a better place.
Well, you know, interesting. I pulled the, you know, the Ten of Diamonds and then the Queen of Diamonds, and I thought, huh, entropy, energy. That's an interesting one for me, Wendy. And perhaps finances, how you see gains, or, you know, material things. Or I know you were ill this past week. Did that affect you financially? You know, and so it's managing your energy, the energy output and input as well. So I know, especially if you come off from being ill, we really do have to let the body heal and not push it too hard, because it needs that kind of time. But it's also about finding a sense of security for yourself, that you don't have some kind of stress or nervousness or anxiety about it. And look, we all do, trust me. You know, we all have our situations, but if we can manage the energy as best as possible. So You're in a management kind of place, Wendy. That's okay. It'll pass over the next 3-4 days. There. Prediction.
All right. And I think our last card is for Dr. Kevin.
It is.
And for you, I have number 31, Sacred Obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
Well, the page of clubs or page of wands is all about communication. And sacred obligations, communication. I have a sense to say you've had a greater awareness of communicating or how other people communicate, how you communicate, Kevin. And sometimes we don't realize what we said and we're being truer, you know, and that's more sacred. So being, look, and it's not about you, Kevin, I'm just saying, it just comes to mind about, I'm a straight thinker and straight talker, and sometimes when I'm talking to people, they have this cul-de-sac of thinking, you know, where they go around the story to get to the point, you know, and to me, it's get to the point and then you have things to back it up with. So it's kind of like a communication shift in how you're interacting with others. So, you know, just to observe that and being truer to self, you know, truer in our minds. The one thing, the other thing that comes to mind is, and I had a talk with my daughter about this today, because we both have pet peeves, real issues, triggers, if you will, about lying. Because I, as I say, you know, it's hard enough to get through this world with the truth. We don't have to lie. But I've had a couple of situations, even at work lately, that I look at somebody, I hear their story, but I know they're lying. Like, I know it, but I just kind of shrug and say, okay. Like, you know, I just brush it off because nothing they say is going to be truthful.
Yeah.
And it's really struggling. It's a struggle to get through life knowing that people are just making stuff up. So you got to brush that off. So if you're dealing with something like that, Kevin, just brush it off. It's their issue, not your issue. So.
Very well said. It's also a bit of a tragedy. Those type of people exist, and I've always found that habitual liars, they always tend to lie to themselves more than anybody else, and they lie to themselves first. It's a sorry state, but no, very well said. Good points.
Well, again, there's no sense confronting someone. It serves no purpose.
Hmm.
To say, oh, you didn't tell the truth, that's not true. To say I disagree, because it just ends up inflaming them. To me, I just shrug it off. Unless it's relevant in my inner circle, and then I can say I see it a different way. But when somebody's telling me they did something when I know they didn't, or their motive was for something that I know isn't true, that changes the whole picture, and I don't bother.
Oh, for sure.
You can just live in your own reality.
Yeah, when it's something that just affects them, or, you know, it's not going to have any benefit. You know, I've often, you know, long-time listeners know I love to argue, but I've been asked, you know, especially if I'm having a back and forth with somebody online, you know, at a time when somebody will chime in, why do you bother? You know, you're not going to change their opinion, and that is absolutely true most of the time, but it's not really about them. It's about people watching the interaction. You just want to give voice to both sides of a debate. You make sure that, you know, your ideas don't die without voice, things like that. So it's not about changing their opinion as much as it's about changing or influencing the opinion of the observer to the exchange. But when it's on an individual level like that, why put yourself through the pain and trouble of it?
Again, we all live in our own different realities of, you know, if that's where somebody wants to live, well, there are stranger places to be.
You know,
that's why, you know, I like my own reality. I have come to look. There was a time when I was uncomfortable around people of very dogmatic religions, or, you know, because the persecution was horrendous, especially in my day. Mm-hmm. And some of us here who are older, you know, times have changed. But then again, so have we. And for one, you know, when somebody says to me, well, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, I said, oh, that doesn't bother me. And they look at me like or they say, well, I'm Christian, aren't you? I say, no, but you're Christian. That doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I turn it around. You know, it just turn it around.
You know, witnesses themselves, part of their entire belief structure is how persecuted they are as a religion. So I'm pretty sure that they were disappointed that you were okay with them being a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, I mean, I had a talk with a young girl the other day who's still struggling with rather dysfunctional parents, kind of radical parents from her childhood. She's in her 20s. And I said, you know, rather than looking for approval or trying to fit in or get along, why don't you think of it another way? Let's think of it in a way. Why do you need approval from people you wouldn't ordinarily like? Oh. And how about this one? You were a bright light born into kind of a dark place. And they tried to tarnish your light. But your job now is to unravel all that conditioning and brighten up that tarnish again to be who you're born to be, because she really is a lovely girl. And I said, be who you're born to be, a bright light. And stop worrying about things. Just be you. She goes, oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. I said, well, it took me a lot of years to figure that out. So I'm giving you the shortcut. Because that's where you end up anyway. So think of that for a day or two. It changes everything.
It does, and it's a good perspective. You know, we all have to live our truth, right? And as long as that truth doesn't infringe on anybody else's rights, then there's nothing wrong with you living your truth. Be who you are. Live your light. Don't let anybody else tarnish it. That's just good advice. And it was very well said.
Well, and this is why when it comes to folks like Terrence Howard, I listen. Do I understand it? No. But I'm willing to be open. I'm not going to judge him or put him down. There's some people I just really don't feel good about. But I'm open to it. He's living in his reality, daring to surface into the world knowing he's going to be ridiculed. Now, it takes a certain amount of courage or a great amount of stupidity in either way, I think.
Well, he's got a lot of his proponents as well.
Okay.
And there was definitely dangers, but he's been talking about this for years now, it's seemed. And, you know, and that's the whole, it is good that we live in a society where you can have, you know, champions and defenders of your ideas, and there are people that are free to believe as they will as well.
Yeah, so, I think just to, we have to learn to chill out and stop being judgmental and critical of each other in so many ways, which happens online. Social media is just taking it to the nth degree, and you know, we're so ready to criticize or ridicule. And I don't care about Affleck and J-Lo, you know, I don't care about that stuff, but the nitpicking and the pettiness and the small stuff is like, it's over the top, because we have nothing better to think about and do with our lives.
We do live in a time of unparalleled comfort and availability of resources. It's a very unusual thing when you're not spending most of your day trying to struggle to survive. Even though, yes, we still have our struggles. We have to pay the rent. We have to do these things. But we have more free time than we ever have.
Well, and the only thing you have to eat is potatoes, or you have to boil a bone for soup and maybe find some roots to put in there so your kids don't starve, you know? And, I mean, again, the last 50 years has changed us so radically.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't know what it is to put the work in to live.
Yeah.
Except to go to a job and be rewarded, do a task and be rewarded. you know, entertainment. I'm going to be rewarded, you know, in the fuzzy feel goods. And
dopamine hit.
Yeah, exactly, Michael. Dopamine's a big addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So
it's just calming down, you know, just calming down. Everybody's just calm down and let it roll off. And if we stop participating in the garbage just fizzles out.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely.
Well, this time has gone by fast again.
It has. It has indeed. You know, it has been another great discussion. Time has flown by. And again, I appreciate everybody's patience with the little internet snafu that got us knocked off. But, you know, happy to have everybody on board. And I'm looking forward to having you all join us next week. But, you know, it is that time of the evening.
It is.
And as we begin to wrap up things, I just have really enjoyed tonight's discussion. I loved how some of our cards seem to kind of correlate with that. You know, it's there's a lot that's unknowable out there. Just like you said, Dr. Vicky, you know, keep an open mind. Don't be judgmental. But, you know, remain grounded and just keep a good head on your shoulders. But, you know, it is okay also to say that I don't know. You know, and that is an important thing. So that's my two cents. Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts before we wrap up?
Oh, I think Wendy says it's best. Have a great week, everyone. Stay safe out there. And don't try to pull the string out of your tea bag out of your cup if it falls in. It's hot.
Well said. Very well said. Well, thank you, everybody, again. We're looking forward to having you join us next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.